following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. Today, we are going to finish up our Unto One Another series. So over the past month, we have been exploring the use of one specific Greek word throughout the New Testament. And the word is allelon, which is most often translated one another. Our first week, we looked at 13 texts that focus specifically on unity. The importance of unity and the role unity plays in the church, both locally and globally. Our second week, we identified 11 texts that focused on love. We learned about the importance, we learned how, we learned the impact that loving one another can have. Our third week, we looked at 7 texts specifically related to humility. And we read about what it means to serve one another, to lead one another in doing acts of service, to put others before us. And last week, we worked through another 7 verses that taught us a whole range of things, from marriage relationships to forgiving one another. We've gone through a whole range of different meanings and different uses of this one word. By my math, we have gotten through 38 different verses. Am I doing that right? Yes, 38 different verses, passages, uses of this word, which is just a snapshot of all of the times this word is used in the New Testament. This morning, we're going to look at another 6. But what's been exciting is that week after week, we have found a wealth of instruction that is based on just this one word, allelon. One another. And so this week, as we look at these 6 more, we are going to find ways again that we are instructed to care for one another, ways that we are instructed to love one another, ways that we are to be an example to a world and to a culture here in North America that teaches us to be about ourselves first. What we find here in Scripture is that that is not the way of following Christ. The way of following Christ is putting others before ourselves. So taking this word, allelon, seriously means being very different. Very different in a way that glorifies God and lifts up our neighbors. And so before we get into our texts for today, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bring your word to life for us this morning. Speak to us, God. Teach us, challenge us, convict us. Give us hope and remind us of your relentless love. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Our first text this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We read here about the responsibility that we have to remind one another of the words of Scripture, especially the promise of Scripture that Jesus Christ will indeed come again. This is something that we are to take heart in ourselves, to remind ourselves of, to dwell in ourselves. But also, and perhaps more importantly, as we see here in this passage, this is something that we are to encourage one another in often. This is a part of being in relationship with one another, is reminding one another of this promise of Scripture. And this is not a promise for any one individual. This is a promise for all who believe in and who follow Jesus Christ. And for that reason, it is a promise that we must pass on to one another. We'll continue in 1 Thessalonians, now in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Again, here in 1 Thessalonians, now chapter 5, a chapter later, a chapter that we spent a lot of time on last year during our Same Passage, Five Ways series. Here we see the need for encouraging one another in the promises of Scripture. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Paul is both praising and kind of urging on the church in Thessalonica. Right? This is an acknowledgement that the life of following Jesus is not easy. It is a challenge. It is difficult. It is painful at times. But that there is great joy that comes through it. There is great joy that comes from it. And again, there is the reminder that we need to encourage one another in the promises of Scripture. The promise of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us, and the promise that Christ will indeed come again. Our next text is from Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We see again this word, encourage one another, but I really love verse 4. I really love it. I love the language of it. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Stir up one another. It is our responsibility to one another, to encourage, to challenge, to stir up one another to love and good works. And that it's that phrase, stir up, that really jumps out at me. Right? It just has kind of this energy about it. Ideas of how we can get one another excited. How we can get one another like chomping at the bit, ready and raring to go and do good works, to go and to love. Like that is our responsibility as the church, to stir up one another to do this. And many of the things that we have read throughout this series have had both implications for like very intimate relationships, but also broad relationships, like as broad as the global church. This one to me feels particularly relevant to the local congregation. How can we stir one another up? Do you feel stirred up? Do you feel stirred up to do good works, to love? Are you stirring up those sitting around you? Do you even think about it that way? This isn't just my job. It's part of my job, right? Like, the pastor should be stirring you up to do some of this. But it's a responsibility of all of us to each other to be living a life that is stirred up to do love, to do good works for Jesus Christ. So I'd really encourage you to think about this, to pray about this, to explore this. How can you be stirring up one another to do good works and to love? Our next text is James 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. With this example of Elijah, we see the power of prayer. And our word here comes twice in a sentence. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. We are taught about the power held in both of these practices, right? Confessing our sins and praying for one another. And confessing our sins is a core piece of what we learned about when we were talking about humility, right? It is vital to love, and it is a necessity to unity. Confessing to one another plays a huge role in all of those. If we aren't willing to admit when we've wronged one another, how in the world are we going to be able to talk about unity or to show love? And there's not a whole lot humble when we're sure that we're the ones that are right. If we can't be real with each other about our failures, when we have failed one another, the rest isn't going to just fall into place. This is an important step in being unto one another and living out this word, confessing our sins to one another, the ways that we have wronged one another. And the second part follows it immediately. Pray for one another. Pray for the sins that have been confessed. Pray for struggles. Pray for challenges. Pray for pain and sorrow and hurt. But pray for joy and for celebrations. Pray for the good. In all of that, pray for one another. Our next passage is 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This passage covers a lot. Right, that first bit, keep loving one another earnestly. Keep loving one another authentically. Really mean it. Put effort into it. This isn't something that you just sort of do. This is something that you do with intention, that you do clearly, that you're not pretending, that you're not faking. Love one another earnestly. Show hospitality without grumbling. I think it's pretty interesting that this is something that Peter addresses all the way back in the first century. Right? In the very first church, people are grumbling about showing hospitality. That's like, we still grumble today about showing hospitality, right? I know I do, certainly at times. Showing hospitality can be really hard, especially when we're showing hospitality to those with whom we disagree. With those who we don't like, perhaps. With those who might challenge us on things. But that's part of what this series is all about, moving through those things and following the commandments that Jesus gives through his word. Show hospitality without grumbling. We're not ignoring the challenges that are there, but we're moving through them and we're moving past them. And then there's a third instance of one another here in this passage. You have each been given gifts by God, and those are to be used to serve one another. That's what stewarding those gifts means. Using them, growing in them, and serving one another, serving the body of Christ with those gifts. We have a responsibility to one another to use our gifts well, to use them to glorify God, to use them for our neighbor's good, to use them to serve one another. I do this every time I mention gifts and spiritual gifts and ways that you are gifted. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, if you have questions or want a dialogue about ways that you might be able to use your gifts, your talents, please come and talk to me. That doesn't necessarily mean just for Emmanuel, but for the church, for God's glory, for the way God is at work in the world. Let's please talk about that, because as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to one another to use our gifts to serve. And then our final passage for today and for this series is Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. And I left this as our last one intentionally. It doesn't fall in, you know, in order through the books of the Bible. But it's because we're going to spend plenty of time here over the next 5 weeks. Right? This falls square in the middle of our same passage, five ways passage. So you're going to hear this over and over and over for the next 5 weeks. But now you're getting a little jump start on a piece of it. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because we're going to hear about it for the next 5 weeks. But the one thing I will say is that all of these things, everything that we've talked about in this One Another series, all of these instances of all alone, are not things that we can fake. They're not things that we can lie to one another about. They're not things that we can pretend to do. Living these all alone texts means taking real steps towards following Jesus more closely. A month ago, a little over a month ago, we began this Unto One Another series. And I referenced in that first sermon a talk that a colleague of mine, Doug Bixby from Massachusetts, gave at the Covenant AGM back in June. And there is one quote that it was his quote, but it was one thing that he said that I quoted that really stood out. He said that, "I believe the devil is using polarization to divide our society, to dismantle the church, and to increase secularization at a rapid rate." And I think Doug is exactly right. And I believe that we actually see that at work every day. We see that polarization in our country, certainly in the U.S. And it'd be easy, I think, for us as the church to point and say, well, all that has to do with politics, right? It's politics that's polarizing. But the truth is, there is just as much polarization at times in the church, just as much opportunity that we take to divide ourselves from others, to say, we're right, you're wrong. We have this figured out, you're still messed up on some of these things. And the devil just loves to keep driving that wedge. And that's why, for me, this series has been really important. Because we have been focusing on a specific word in Scripture that instructs us against polarization. It is about unity, it is about humility, it is about love, it is about one another. All the one another at Emmanuel, one another that is the church in South Surrey and White Rock, one another, the church in Canada, and one another that is the church globally. That is a big one another. And it's way too easy for us to try to pare that down to bite-sized chunks. That one another is that big and that broad, and it's important for us to continue to do this work to serve the whole church. If we take the instruction that we are meant to from these instances of all alone, from one another, we will be taking important steps in combating the devil's attempt to polarize. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work even just understanding what this looks like. But it's work that when we follow it, as if it really is the Word of God, if it really is what we're being instructed to do, it's work that can change the world. Lord Jesus, this morning we again have been challenged to be your church, to live as your body in the world. Help us to serve one another, to love one another, to unite with one another, to humbly submit to one another, putting others before ourselves. Help us to live this word all alone, knowing that we are a part of something that you are building. Jesus, we ask that you lead us, that you guide us, that you teach us, that you empower us and strengthen us to do your work in the world. And we pray this all in your holy and precious name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.